through a ministry called Lightshine, and they do trips, normally smaller groups, and they do strictly groups from Pennsylvania, and they go to help people in Alaska, because Alaska has a lot of issues with just like putting up their infrastructure, and there's a lot of just like problems that would seem minor here, like drugs and abuse and all that kind of stuff. There's a lot of issues around there. And so they go and normally help Christian camps. And so they want to help build up the camps so that they can help people who go there. Not all of them are normally Christians. They help, they open up the community, and then they kind of work God into some of their lessons for like the kids, and like use God based like Bible-based ideas, but don't always put them that way, but they make sure that it gets across. And so we went to a camp called Globe Creek, and it is in Fairbanks, which is right here, right above the North Pole. And Anchorage is down in here. And so our team was Tom, Randy, Fred Ginder, my dad and I, and Mel Miller. And we went from June 23rd to July 3rd. And we started out in the early morning on June 23rd. We started off early in Philadelphia. And then we flew to Portland, Oregon. And that was like a 6.5 hour flight-ish. And then we had a short layover, and then we flew to Anchorage. And then that night, and then we drove an hour to Palmer, which is right here, an hour above Anchorage, where we stayed with at the Sunderland Ranch. And they are Alaskans who help out with the ministry. And they kind of work with Lightshine and help provide like a place to stay for the first night and sleeping bags, and like help hold some of Lightshine's equipment for like their camps. And you can go to the next slide. This is their house. This is our van, and we stayed up in this part of their house. And they were really nice people. We liked them a lot. Like talk a lot, and they're nice, really nice people, and they had lots of stories, and it was fun hanging out with them for the one night. And we kind of, it was a lot more relaxing than taking plane rides and going over the place. You can go to the next slide. And so then we ate breakfast at Palmer, and we ate with the man who picked us up at the airport. Don't remember his name. But he and his wife joined us for breakfast, and we ate at a little diner on the edge of Palmer, and the mountains are way back behind that. And got to try reindeer, which was a lot of fun. Try lots of interesting foods. But they were really nice people, too. They were originally from Pennsylvania, and they came out. Now they live in Alaska. So they were also really nice people. And they enjoy Alaska a lot more than Pennsylvania, apparently. You can go to the next slide. Here's some of the scenery we saw. We had it was a 14-hour drive from Palmer to Fairbanks. And we saw a lot of scenery. There's two main roads. There's like six main roads in Alaska. We took like five of the six main roads the entire trip. There's one that went one way, one the other way. We took the shorter two. The other one went through Denali. But we saw a lot of good scenery. You can just go through these pretty quickly. We saw a glacier when we were there. Couldn't get really close. You could have taken a trip, like hiked down to it, but we didn't have enough time because it's a long drive from places to places. You can go to the next one. We saw lots of really tall mountains and lots of green. You wouldn't expect Alaska to be really green, but it is, especially in summer. You can go to the next one. And there's a lot of open space and a lot of sky, and it is really big, and there's lots of mountains. kind of how you'd see it, but maybe even better. Lots of tall mountains and trees. You can keep going. So that's the back of a van bus. So pictures on a high quality. You can keep going, Brendan. Lots of tall trees. You can stop here. The trees, they had a lot of black spruce, and all the trees are like really tall and pointy. And it's like all they have besides birch trees. All the trees are really skinny and really tall. So there's not much tree cover. It's just these little spindly twigs sticking out of the ground. They don't grow very tall or big. So after another almost hour of driving 40 miles on a really worn path, road, if you want to call it that. Yeah, it's a haul road. They don't really keep them in very good condition, but we made it there. It was like 37 miles. I think it was like almost an hour to get there after our 14 hours of driving. And then we got to Globe Creek Camp, and this is their sign. You can go keep going. And this is their main lodge area. I think I have a picture of it from the outside. But when he first bought the property, his name is Mike, the owner, director of the camp. First bought the property, there's the lodge from the outside. There's nothing here, and he felt for a while that God had called him to start a camp. And so he bought this land, and took a hike with the rest of the groups who also came in. And the camp's like up in here, and the road comes behind here and goes there, loops back around this way. And he felt that God was calling him to this place. So he built the lodge the 1 year and slowly added on and added more cabins and kind of work in progress this day. One of the days we went with the other group who was there. They're from Alexandria, Virginia, which is like 10 miles from DC. So they're from the city, which was a good experience for them. And it was lots of fun talking to them and just hanging out and playing games at night when we're done working. But they were with Group International, and they went to help a local farmer. It was just him and his wife and his daughter, and they owned, I think, two farms. They managed two farms, and they grow all organic. And so we were there helping them clean out their goat and sheep pens that had not been cleaned out for an entire year. So that was an experience. It didn't go too bad, and surprisingly, the case from the city can actually work. I was really surprised. They knew it. They could take directions and listen. So that was a lot of fun. Here's some of the, this is Chris and Charlie. Most of the kids from our group were a little bit older than me, seniors and juniors pretty much. They're from Westminster. They're a church at Westminster. And there's also a couple others. The cooks for their group from Colorado. There are a couple really smart people, have a lot of talent. And a couple other people from around the country went with the group, international team. One of the nights at like midnight, I took this picture of a rainbow that we saw. There's actually two rainbows, but you can't really see the one. There's two of them. And you can see the start and the end. That was really pretty because I'd probably never see a rainbow again at 12 o'clock at night. But it was definitely worth staying up. And one of the things is about staying up really late is that your body has no idea when time to go to bed because there's no darkness. So you feel alive and awake the entire day. And then you look at your clock and you're like, wow, it's really late. I feel fine. Get up the next morning and it's dark in the cabin. You're like, oh. Why didn't I go to bed earlier? And you walk outside and you can hardly see because you can't, it's just so bright. You're like stumbling out, people like closing their eyes and like falling out down the porch. It's so bright, but it was still fun. And that's from on the road. I stood on the road to take that picture because there's no traffic. You can keep going. I took this picture on the road. I took a panoramic. This is one end of the road. There's the other end of the road. And there's no traffic, pretty much, besides the occasional truck that hits the bridge down here. Can you go back? There's a bridge down here, and it's the bridge, and you can hear the bridge like all night long from trucks hitting it. But that's a haul road that goes up to the top of Alaska. You can keep going. It's Yeah, and so to make phone calls, we had to drive to make phone calls. Our camp is down in here, and we had to drive all the way up there so we can make phone calls once a day, well, sometimes two times a day, if we felt like driving there, but it took a while, so we didn't. But that's where we make phone calls from. You can keep going. And when we were there making phone calls for the one day, we could see Mount McKinley, or Denali, as Alaskans call it, and Denali, like the mountain range back in here. I have another picture when we saw it, but that was like, I think it's almost 400 miles, it's 400 miles away from that point where we were. I could still see it, which is pretty cool. And here's what our main project was for the week. We were building this cabin. I didn't get any early pictures, but when we started, it was like two or three layers up. And in the 4 or so days, we put the rest of the layers on, cut all the doors, and got all the beams and posts on. You can go through these pictures. That took a while. It was a lot of moving things in small areas, but we got it done. And here we're cutting off the logs from the angles. We're putting on the roof and the insulation because it's cold in Alaska, and you want to make sure you stay warm when you have a bunch of little kids in a camp, and they're staying in a lodge with a counselor. It gets pretty cool pretty quick, I'm assuming. Here's the inside. They're pretty small, but they fill them with 6 or 7 bunk beds, so they fit, I think it fit 12 people. And this is the cabin we stayed in, and here's the cabin we built. So we were putting on the plywood, and we had everything out. So that was also an experience, getting to talk with all of our group members. It's just fun working with a bunch of guys and getting to learn more about them and just enjoying it. And even the group from Alexandria, just talking with them as they upped a little bit. You can go to the next picture. There's the front, and we started putting some of the porch on. We laid paper for the roof, and I think next picture is shingles. You can go to the next picture. Yeah, there's the shingles. And so it was pretty much done. And this is what the group before us, well, last year's group was working on. They worked on putting up the little shop room area for like their clothes that they sell, our t-shirts, and for a nurse's station. You can go to the next picture. And here's the group international director. He like helps direct groups all year long in Alaska. Well, not all year, but for the summer at least. And he was working on putting gas in his wood splitter because we split a lot of wood, a lot of wood. And he bought a new wood splitter for the camp. And I pretty much spent most of my time splitting wood every day from 9 till 6. And we split them into little pieces that are like this long for the little stoves they have in all their cabins, and they're like this round. So it took a while, but it wasn't too hard of work. The one day we tested out the sprinkler system for in the morning, I think. And so a couple last year they had a fire in their area, and you could still see where all the trees were burned down. There was just starting to go grass. But it was a real issue because they had like a group of like a fire brigade actually staying at the camp at one point because it was like over the crest of the mountain that kind of like overlooks the camp. And so we have the creek is pretty close to the lodge. So you pump it out of the creek into all of these pipe fittings and all of that. There's like 10 of those. And we just like set them up all over the camp. You can go to the next picture. There's testing them out. We kind of surprised everyone by spraying them with water halfway through the day, even though it was like 80 degrees out and really warm. Yeah. And one of the days we went in, I think, to get parts. And we stopped at the North Pole Santa shop. And this is the sign in the back of the shop for how many days till Christmas. So there's actually a place called North Pole. It's not, we were actually farther north than the North Pole, but that was one of the days we stopped there for a short break. And we saw a reindeer, even though they were in a cage. And, you know, actually, sure. And one of the evenings after we're done working, they have, I think it's a 900-foot zip line. So it's the farthest north zip line in Alaska, in the world. So it's there's that. It was really fun, and it goes pretty fast too. And it's a great view because all you see is trees and mountains, and everybody at the very bottom yelling and taking pictures and having a good time. So that was a lot of fun. There I am. But there's not a whole lot of trees. We took a hike one at like midnight with a bunch of the youth, and we hiked to the top of this ridge, and it took like an hour because the ground, like you step on it and you sink like half a foot down because the moss just like gives away. So, yeah, it's tundra. And there's our group leader Mel. He was manning the unharnesses you, and he's wearing his hat a little to his side because Tulsa's joke about getting a job, and one guy got his job by turning his hat to his side. So it was a joke all week. And our touristy day, where we didn't work at all, we took a riverboat on the Discovery 3 on river in Fairbanks, and it's obviously a big boat. It's really touristy. There's a lot of people there. They have a bunch of shops. You can go to the next picture. That's from the back. The creek river itself is only like 10 feet. It's 10 feet deep. Yeah, it's 10 feet deep, so it's really shallow. But this massive boat, a three-story boat, could go on it, which is pretty crazy in itself. But that is kind of a tour of like Alaskan culture, if you will. And so they have like, you got off the boat on the side of the bank. They have a bunch of like, they moved an old Alaskan town closer to people, and they like restored some of it and like reenact, if you will, some of like what would actually happen in an older Alaskan like outpost, if you will. And so there's a bunch of furs that they hunt and trap for you. Foxes and coyotes and wolverines and beaver and all that kind of stuff. Here's what like old like actual log houses look like. And they grow grass on top of them because it helps prevent weathering. They have all sorts of techniques for keeping their houses conditioned and stuff. That was really cool. And we got to see a full-size moose. That was gigantic. It holds a record. It's really big. Yeah, at one point. It's stuffed, but at one point it was real. And one of the things that, when we were there, they showed us a demonstration of cutting open a fish and like preparing it the way that they would in more rural Alaska. And they catch them with this machine here. I think I have a better picture of it later. But they cut them open and slice them, and they hang them on the sun for a couple hours, and they dry out. And then they smoke them. You can go to the next picture. Here's a smokehouse where they smoke them so that they last longer and they dry out more. Here's what they do. This when the salmon come, they funnel them in here, and this rotates from the water and scoops the salmon up and puts them in a basket. And because they don't like fishing for their fish, they claim that it's just playing with fish. They like to catch them and just make it easy. Yeah. So they use that for a lot because once the salmon's dried down, it's like a third of its actual size. And dogs eat the salmon. Most people have dog like along that area at least have dogs. Their dogs go through a lot of salmon, so when you pack it down, you need a lot of salmon to have. They don't normally eat the salmon a whole lot. It's from what I could tell, they don't eat a whole lot. It's more for their dogs, but that's what that's for. And here's a picture from on the boat. It's kind of Alaskan. I don't know what you'd expect to see in Alaska: mountains and pine trees and a creek. And here's the salty water from the from a glacier reaching the fresh water of the river. The water is really silty, so it's not really anything that's clear, but it is occasionally clear. And we saw Susan Butcher was a had it as like a famous dog sledder. She ran the Iditarod one multiple times. This is her kennel that she has along this creek, and her husband still runs it because she died of breast cancer. And there's all the dogs in the kennel. They don't race anymore, but they raise dogs. You can go to the next. And after they take them, like race them around, play, they have like a little loop. They always let them swim in the water because it doesn't last very long, and they get really hot really quick, so not used to the weather. But those are the dogs. And there's little puppies that they train. They run them all around all day long with a bunch of over like logs and stuff. That was interesting to see. And there's a lot of really big houses along this. It's a lot more touristy. Ronald Reagan, I think, owned a house along this area. So it's a lot more touristy. You know, next picture. And there's lots of big houses, and it's way different than everywhere else along Alaska. Everywhere else is more worn down. Got to see a bush plat take off on the when we went on the boat, which is really cool to see because that's how most of Alaska gets where it needs to go or how they get food. It's little planes like that carrying stuff. There's taking off. You can go next picture. I think this is a video. Can you click on it? Here, what they do in the summer, since like you don't have ice, they take their dogs, come up to a four-wheeler, and the dogs pull it around on a track, and they take this big loop around. But in the winter, when the river freezes, they take them out on the sleds, and then they go on there. That's what they do in the summer to make sure they stay fit and healthy. You can go to the next one. Next one. We on our last day at Globe Creek, Dad and I we took a hike up Big Grapefruit Rock, I think it is. There's two hikes. There's Little Big Grapefruit, and we hike up it. And so it's relative. It's there's not a whole lot of mountains where we were. In the interior of Alaska, it's mainly more plains, like with the like marshes where you just like to see like a moose walking around. And so here's the road. There's no cars on it, and there's where like the camp is right here, and the creek goes through here, and the zip lines from like here to there. So that was. And here's just another picture. There's a lot of sky and open spaces everywhere. There's not a whole lot of people. And here we also could see Mount McKinley or Denali when we were on the hike, and that was again 400 miles away, which is really crazy, but it's just so much taller than everything else. There's just lots of open space. You can go back to the last picture one more time. And the pipeline, you can't see it, but this little area right here is a pipeline. There's a pumping station back out here, which is like, there's like 11 of them. So we're like right next to one of the pumping stations where they pump the oil to the rest of them. But the pump line pretty much just follows the road. And so that was pretty much a lot of what we did. We pretty much in the mornings, we'd wake up and we'd hang out with other groups, have a devotional, and then we'd work till 1, and then we'd eat. And the food was really good. The cooks were, one of the cooks was actually from Pennsylvania, but he lives in Colorado. So everybody's from Pennsylvania somehow managed to end up in Alaska. And then we worked again till 6, and then we ate dinner. And And in the evenings, we just hung out and played a lot of card games. Because you all seem to know a lot of card games that people didn't know. And so we did that a lot. And we did a lot of hikes and just enjoyed being outside. And yeah, it was a lot of fun. And it was a lot of fun getting to talk and with people you never get to meet ever before. And they're still Christians and their family, but they're just great people to hang out with. And it was a great experience. And I don't know, it was a lot of fun. I would go back, definitely. They're mostly local. Some of them come from Anchorage, from what I understand, which is where most people come from, even though it's not a big city. It's made it seem like a big city, but it's not. Most of them come from there, and I think they hold three. This year they're only holding two. I think they have three camps, three main camps. A lot of times it can be rented out to people who want to use it for, like, parties, kind of. And so one of them is in... One of them was like a week or two after we left. There was one in the summer. Then there's one in the fall, which is more like early winter. And then there's one in the like dead of winter where there's like snow all over the place. And they build like snow forts and they like hang out. And there's still lots of fun activities in the snow and like sled down the hills. And those are the main camps. They're working to get more space. Because I think right now their issue is they don't have enough room for all the people that want to come. So that's the main reason why we were there, because there's not enough space to house all the people who want to come. So there's a lot of interest, but not enough space, which is part of the issue. But he also, the zip line is pretty popular. He uses that sometimes and has events out of that, and we can bring people and pay so much money. You can go for a zip line. Yeah, fundraiser for the camp. But that's what they do. And anything else I should add? Not from Alaska.
I'm going to go a little bit different direction. I think on their license plate they call it the last frontier, and it really is. There's a lot of room up there. Just some things about Alaska, I guess, made me think about Jesus. I already talked about the vastness or the fullness of Alaska, and you guys saw a picture of that rainbow. It was a reminder of how close Jesus is. I've never seen a rainbow that close. I don't know if it was just the way it fell in the mountains, but it was really close. So close that Seth said, "Dad, I'm going to walk out there and see if I can get to the end of it." Bless his heart, yeah. Yeah, so you guys can turn with me to these scriptures. We're going to look some scriptures up here. Matthew 1:23. If you get there, you can just read it. Or I can read it. Matthew 1:23. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son. They will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. God has a desire to be with us, to be close to us. Another one that I thought showed how Jesus wanted to be close to us, John 11:34-36. This is about Lazarus and Jesus. "Where have you laid him?" Jesus asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." So that shows how God wants to be close to us. Zephaniah, I know that's a different book. It's right before the New Testament. Zephaniah 3:17. "The Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you as singing." That's pretty awesome. Rejoice over you as singing. Obviously, another thing you think of when you're in Alaska is the majesty and the glory. There's huge mountains that just go on and on. I just can't believe how much they went on and on. Again, the story of Lazarus talks about majesty and glory. John 11, verses 40 and 41. Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me." We have to believe to see the glory of God. Luke 9:32. Peter and his companions were very sleepy, but when they came fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. That's the transfiguration of Jesus. They saw his glory. And lastly, I thought that, I guess, mountains display authority, and I guess I thought of Jesus' authority. Looked at a lot of scriptures for this. Jesus healing the man at the pool, for instance, showed his authority. Jesus getting the spirits out of the man at the cemetery and put them in pigs, he was showing his authority over evil spirits. A lot of scripture about that. I guess this is where I ended up. To me, this is probably the ultimate verse on authority. John 19:30. I think when you first read this, it looks like a statement of defeat, but it isn't. Yes, I do believe hell shuddered when these words were spoken. And John 19:30. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. The debt was paid. Thank you, Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, there is no doubt about it. When you died on that cross, it was all done, every single last thing. We just thank you for saving us. We're going to celebrate that just in a little bit with Anna being baptized. You have saved us. Praise your name. Thank you so much for loving us. Your love goes on and on. We can't describe it. When we think we've had enough. You have more. And praise your name. Thank you, Jesus.